All right, well, we're on.
All right, Chris, welcome to Comic Culture. Hold on, let me
adjust yourself.
Let me adjust my accoutrements.
Ooh, don't hurt yourself.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that explores all things comic culture. I'm Walt.
I'm Chris.
And today we're really gonna go after a self-improvement show.
Self-improvement.
Is it self-improvement?
Sure. Because we're
improvement to the listeners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought you meant for us. We need that.
Well, we always need that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're all going to benefit. Us,
okay.
The listeners, we're going to do a little bit of a journey of self-discovery here.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to talk about mistakes people make when they collect comics.
Okay.
Pitfalls. Things to avoid.
Yep.
You know, they say, you know how dads, remember my dad? The worst line my dad always used to tell me
What's
when I was
that?
Young. Oh, one day you'll understand, or one day you'll really. Yeah, I hate it.
I know. Did you ever understand?
No,
I know.
Listens
yeah.
to their dad.
I know.
So listening to us is one thing. Making the same mistake yourself and learning from it is totally different.
Right.
Now, Chris and I are here to tell you that. You know, avoid that and just listen to us.
Well, okay, but you know, if you're going to go ahead and we're not liable for any kind of mistakes that you know if we're suggesting for you to make,
right? Yeah,
or any things that you should be doing,
right? Whatever you do wrong, it's not our fault.
No, because we're just a couple of schlebs anyway.
Schlebs,
yeah.
Schmoes.
Yeah.
This
is in our opinion only.
This is in our opinion only.
Our opinion only.
And knowing us. I wouldn't, take our opinion
very seriously.
Very seriously.
Okay, so
Chris, mistakes people make when they're collecting.
Now, first of all, we have to kind of make the, well, maybe we don't. I don't know. Make a delineation between collecting for enjoyment and reading, Whoa. Or collecting for investment.
I think it's going to be a little bit of both because you have to include investing because sometimes that's where the mistakes happen.
Right.
Right, so it's a little bit of both.
But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there's not really any it's hard to make mistakes if you're buying a monthly comic and just reading it.
Fair.
It's hard to make that mistake other than buying too many.
Or buying too many or buying stuff that we know is crap.
Or just
you shouldn't
like,
be buying.
Well, I mean, just like, you know.
Like Zombie Tramp or something.
Hey. I just mean like, you know, you don't want to overextend yourself when it comes to buying even just new books. But I think that's probably the best, that's probably the biggest mistake that people can make when buying comics in general terms anyways, is overextending themselves and like going into debt
right.
and that kind of thing.
Right.
You never want to do any of that.
Yeah. Well, comics, you know what? Honestly, comics falls into the category. Let's start right there. A mistake you make is overextending yourself.
Right.
So comics can it's gambling, booze, comics, clothes, Starbucks. You know, like if you don't have the means, you know, don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's right.
Spend within your means.
Absolutely.
Right. Because you're not going to enjoy the comics if you're stressed about the cash.
Right.
Right. So, you know, spend within your means. And the good thing about if you're really a consumer of the product in terms of the entertainment value, then you don't need to own it to enjoy it.
Right.
Collectors are different.
Right.
Consumers of pop culture are different. They can read them online. They can read them at the library.
Yeah.
They can read them used, secondhand, graphic novel sales. Now, there's a lot of ways to... I'm like that, though, Chris. I'm bad. So I read books.
Mm.
And I have to own the book I read.
I've
never
too.
Read a book from a library. Stupidest thing.
I don't think I have either. I always go out and buy it myself.
Right. And then I keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then I have like a pretty... Well, I've got a massive collection. I think I got about 4 altogether so far.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it is. So... You know, stay within yourself.
Right.
Right. Don't overextend because the stress involved. Like I said, if you're a consumer, there are myriad of ways
Absolutely.
You can enjoy it without paying for it.
Absolutely, for
right?
sure. And there's lots out there. I mean, there's like thousands and thousands of issues to read,
right.
graphic novels to read,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of stuff that if you just want, pardon me, just want to get some entertainment value out of it, then that's the best way to go.
Okay, so that pretty well covers the people that are just consuming the product.
Right.
Other than be mindful of your time, make sure your job isn't suffering and all that kind of stuff, and your relationship and all that stuff. Don't consume yourself with that entertainment.
Right.
It's like video games, really.
Anything, yep.
Can comics be that addictive as like video games where somebody's just reading comics?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. I think I don't want to say it takes more energy because, I've seen people play video games and it takes a lot of energy for some of those to get into it and be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, sure. Anything can be addictive.
Fair enough. All right. But if you're buying and you're collecting and you're putting away and you're doing that, let's look at some of the pitfalls.
Okay, sure.
Not in any particular order.
Yeah.
But the number one thing that because it affects finances the most is buying uninformed.
Right, absolutely.
I hate that.
You know,
and that's something that I've preached and you preached here, we preached together here, is don't make purchases blind. Don't make purchases uninformed. There are so many tools out there where you can arm yourself with the information you need to make a smart purchase.
Right. The thing is, when you're buying comics now, it's so much easier than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, you click a button.
You click a button, you can find out exactly how much particular comics are worth in particular grades. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're buying them raw, it's a little bit of a different story. You have to have a bit of a better eye when you're trying to grade and figure out what it is you want.
Also, buy from a trusted source there. If you're going to do that, make sure you're buying from a trusted source. You don't have to know the seller, Chris, but usually you look. There are even tools within, let's say, eBay.
Yep.
You look at their feedback.
Yep.
You look at the amount of, you know, if they have literally, 7,900 feedbacks and they have 100% feedback rating and they're a seller.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're buying off somebody with 28 feedbacks and he's got 83% feedback rating, you might want to be cautious about what you're buying.
Well, absolutely. And if you're buying it in person, make sure, especially if it's an older book, you want to like flip through the pages.
Right.
And, make sure that what you're getting is solid and that kind of thing, right?
Well, that's arming yourself with a little bit of knowledge on page counts. And resto checks and stuff, which we talked about before. But in general, a pitfall is people just buy blind.
Yep.
They buy on impulse. They buy because they want it really bad, and they don't shop around.
Right. Well, that's a whole other issue. So if you're talking about informing yourself is one thing, but also, don't just buy with your heart.
Right. You can buy with your heart. Let's clarify.
Right.
You can buy with your heart, but then at least shop around.
Right.
Because I don't know how many, especially young people that are new to the hobby, they'll jump on eBay and they'll like look for a book. And it's like, whoa.
I know.
And then they'll just click enter.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it's for a VF near mint copy of something for $80.
Yeah.
And all they had to do was look around and there'd be near mint minus copies for $40 all day long.
Exactly.
Right? So
exactly.
they're impatient and they buy impulsively. They buy. So that's like, it could save literally thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And buying wrong. Here's the thing. Buying wrong. Here's the thing. Yes.
You didn't give me a chance.
I'm sorry. Buying wrong just takes the air out of the tires.
Oh, it really does. You become deflated so quickly.
Yeah. You get it back and you feel like a heel. You feel like a loser. You feel,
well, okay. So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I remember buying about 30 years ago. I was really getting into buying old Daredevil comics, and I went to a card show with my dad, so a sports card show with my dad, and there was a guy there selling comics, so I spent most of my time at that booth, looking at stuff. I bought a Daredevil number 4 that I thought was in great shape, and I bought a bunch of books at the time, and we were haggling and making deals, and I took them home, and sure enough, I opened up the number 4, and it was missing half of the back page. Shame on me. I should have.
Yeah.
Why didn't I look through them? But I was a little bit younger back then, and so.
I had a story like that. I was back in the old, just when I started doing shows, this would have been mid 80s. Back then I had my partner Mo.
Yeah.
And we were, I bought Spidey One. And I bought it off a guy. I think I bought it for $100. Low grade.
Right.
And I took it back. And I don't know, I guess I had it upside down, like the back cover.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then we were sitting somewhere at lunch or something like that. And then Mo goes, hey, Walt, what's that book? Because he saw the back cover.
Right.
I go, it's my Spidey One.
Yeah.
He goes, no, it can't be. I go, yeah. And I flipped it over. It was the Spidey One.
Yeah.
He goes, that's how to draw like Rockwell.
Oh, late, yeah, yeah.
Late 60s yeah. back cover.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, it is. And then I looked, and there was like tape and glue. Yeah, and so somebody stuck a 1967 or 68 back cover on a 1963 comic. So, and I felt like terrible.
Sure.
All day. Like $100. I ended up selling it the next show we set up at for $50.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And because I was all mad. Yeah, and I just wanted my money back. But I didn't get my money back. But I mean, that's understandable. Those are the types of mistakes you make. You know, we talked about at the beginning of the show about making your own mistakes.
Yes.
So you learn lessons hard that way, right?
So hard,
you learned it hard. I learned it hard. It stings when it actually bites into your wallet.
You know, it's right? one thing if you're spending $5 on a comic or $2 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're spending good money on something, you know, it really stings. It really hurts.
But that's how you learn.
That's how you learn. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
How you learn. So, okay, let's go look at other pitfalls.
Well, you know, one of the things that, and I'm sure a lot of people are kicking themselves nowadays, but I don't know if it's a true pitfall, and that's selling your books too early. But I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's a pitfall because
I wouldn't count it as one.
It's hard because sometimes you need the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why you can't count it because you need the money. Right.
But at the same time, I mean, you and I had this discussion just last week. If you sold your books, if you had a collection of books, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You sold them too early.
Right.
Compared to what
you sold last year, you sold them too
early. Right.
If you sold them in February, you sold them too early.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, I mean,
but,
you can never know what the market's going to be like.
Okay, but your daughter's getting married.
Right.
Your daughter's going to university.
Sure.
Your son knocked up some... did I say that?
Yeah, no.
I didn't say it.
You
know, costs come and then you need money.
Hey, you know, if you gotta buy that extra bottle of wine.
That's right. So, I don't know.
But it's difficult because it can be regrettable, very regrettable.
It's definitely, you can rue the day you sold it.
Right.
But I don't know if it's a pitfall that you can plan against. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking, how about like uniformity, like damaging them, storing them improperly.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
Just not caring for them after you bought them.
Sure.
Right? Because I was like that. The reason I say this one is I would have everything strewn everywhere and I'd have, and I wouldn't have a good storage system and I would, some would be unbagged and some would be bagged and boarded and some would be, and it was terrible. And I know that cost me over the long run. You have them in boxes that are flippity floppity, you know, like, so if you're going to play that long-term collecting game, you should take care of your comics after you bought them.
Absolutely.
You'd be surprised, Chris, how many people don't take care of their comics after they buy them.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I remember, you know, let's say 25, 30 years ago when I was working at a store, and I remember seeing relatively newer comics at that time coming back in to try to be sold. So maybe stuff from like the early 80s.
Right.
And they were dog-eared
and
crap and torn. And I thought, well, you know what? Nobody's going to make those mistakes now because we're all learned people.
Right.
I still see those same books from 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It never stops.
And you can't even go, you know, say you were in the 80s or 90s or 80s, whatever.
80s or 90s.
This stuff, what do I care if it's just all strewn in some sort of chest behind the bed? It's just She-Hulk 1s and ROM 1s. Those things are worth like $2 each.
It's just New Mutants 98.
Yeah, like what are they worth? They're worth nothing.
Right.
Right? So you can't make that mistake ever, especially in today's climate where you don't know what's coming down the road.
So remember when you tried to con me into buying those Smurfs comics?
I did.
Well, yeah. So I didn't think that they were... I have Smurfs comics at home.
What are they worth?
I don't know, but clearly they were worth money if you were trying to sell them to me.
I didn't even know what they were worth. I was just trying to sell them to you because I'm a con guy, playing
the long game here.
Right. No, but they are. I think they're worth something.
Yeah.
But the point is you don't know what things are going to be worth in the future. And if you're collecting and you're holding for a long game, you can't, you know, oh, my Spidey 129 I got to take care of, but all this other crap can go unorganized. So you got to put an effort into keeping the integrity of the grades of the stuff that is in your runs and it's not graded.
Yeah.
It takes effort and it takes time.
Absolutely.
There's a payoff at the end.
Well, one of the biggest things that I think, and I agree, there's a huge payoff. And one of the biggest things that I think people need to remember to do, and that's what I've been going through in the last little while, is rebagging and boarding all my comics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of the comics that I have, I've never rebagged and boarded. And so we're talking like, you know, 35 years of just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, you peel it off and it's almost like oil coming off in your hand because they're so gross, right? Yeah.
You ever get those bags, Chris, where the tape won't even come
off? Oh, that's the worst.
The tape is oily.
Yeah, everything's oily. And although I do have to say that one of my favorite sounds in all of sounddom, if that's a word, is hearing those two bags sound of like when they're oily and they're trying to rip them apart from each other. Those two comics.
Oh,
and it makes
that sort of peeling sound.
Because you know they've been sitting there for a long time and they're old and they're. You know, I love that sound.
Yeah, I love that sound too. So that's important. You got to take care of your comp, believe it or not. And it's such the stupidest thing to say ever, but we've seen so much neglect. And the thing is, it's one of those things where you have to be on guard. You know, not on my watch type thing.
Yeah.
Because, and again, I say this from experience. You can be hardcore custodian for 2 years and then I don't know, you're going through a phase and you don't give two craps, and then 2 years later you get back to being that custodian,
right?
And but in the meantime you've done your comics irreversible damage. Thank you, ESL.
Yeah, I know.
So another pitfall is taking care of your comics after you buy them.
So I'm gonna further that just one little bit iota. And that's, I think, you know, but this isn't really a mistake. It's something that, well, I guess some people do is, we have to remember to enjoy our collection.
Right.
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 If you're not going to enjoy it and at least try to look at them every once in a while, I know it's an investment and it's a little bit of a different, case here, but try to like go through your comics every once in a while and look at them, look at the covers, enjoy the covers.
Right.
You've made an incredible investment in them. You might as well get something more than just the monetary value out of it as well.
Right.
You know, I can't tell you the number of times I go into my man den at home and I just kind of look around and I flip through books again just to kind of enjoy them again. And you know, it's just fun.
All right. I'm going to do one more. Don't be a lemming.
A lemming.
And don't be a lemming.
Okay.
What I see people do is they chase the latest, hottest thing. And sometimes they will do it with, you know, how can I say it? They'll maybe, all my DCs are cold, so I'm going to trade them all in for this for this Adam Hughes
variant
of Spider-Man because everybody wants this Adam Hughes variant of Spider-Man.
Right.
If that Adam Hughes variant of Spider-Man is even the wrong thing, I guess what I'm putting a warning about is the hot first appearance du jour.
Right.
The thing that pops because at the credits of some sort of streaming show, somebody popped in and, you know, that $2 book is now a $400 book.
Right.
Right. And so people don't have the money. So they're selling their Green Lantern 59s first Guy Gardner's to pay for this.
To pay for the first Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen du jour thing. Yeah. So be careful of that. Don't do that. Don't. Once the cat's out of the bag, it's kind of late.
Well, it's super late, yeah.
In a way. So, and I would kind of be respectful of the keys that you own. And I don't want to say the word weight them, but you have to kind of weight them and say, hey, you know what? Like, if it doesn't make sense, I remember there's a dealer I know, I won't mention his name. And, you know, all this craziness with the pricing and stuff like that. And I went up to him because I had a book to sell, and it was like a 9.6 or something. And I go, $800, yeah. Right? And I just remember, he's like a little bit younger than me, but an old-time dealer.
Yeah.
And he goes, whoa, that don't look like an $800 book.
Right.
You know, that's just not, like, my mind can't, like, that's a $200 book.
Yeah.
How's that $800? It's a $200 book. So his internal compass or his internal spidey sense was telling him, okay, this book is probably inflated at the moment. It doesn't make sense to me,
right?
That book is worth that much money.
Right.
I'm not going to give up some, you know, established, tried and true, proven value book,
sure,
for a book that is new money,
yep,
and that you don't know the direction it's going to go.
And that's fair, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, but that's something that a lot of people make mistakes.
Well, and sometimes it pays off, and sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it pays off, fair enough. Sometimes right? It doesn't. I guess as long as you can bear the consequences. We have people coming into the shop, of course, with good stuff,
yeah,
and they want to sell it to us because they want to buy stuff that's more speculative,
sure,
right? And it's like, okay, obviously you don't have the funds to buy this speculative book,
yeah,
so you're going to cash in on a tried and true book, but there's pitfalls to that,
absolutely,
right? And you just can't go in blind thinking that you're going to score every time.
No, of course, right? Not of course,
so,
not.
I guess you're right. I guess as long as you know the odds.
Well, I guess I'm thinking, like, you know, sometimes you might be a little bit late to the game, but then, for example, if you bought, because I would say that you'd be late to the game if you bought a New Mutants 98 2 years ago.
Right.
You'd be late to the game.
Yes.
You'd still made money on it.
You
today.
Still made money today. You're right.
Right? So, you're right. But that's way late. Like, hey, that's listen, super late.
How many times, you know, what I just said can be proven wrong by, Amazing Spider-Man 300 98 cracked $2,000, $2,500. We thought it was crazy.
Right.
And then it retreated back to $1,500.
Yeah.
So when you bought at $2,500, you could have said, oh, man, I'm really late to game. I made a mistake.
Right.
And it retracted to $1,500. They're now $7,000.
Right. It's crazy.
You know, $7,000. Yeah. So, I guess, you know.
Just be careful.
Yeah. The old fuddy-duddy and we can't be right all the time either. In the
right? So. But I get what you're saying because, you know, at the same time, I think some of us who have been in the industry for long enough, we look at some of these books that are around, you know, 25, 20 years old and say, there's no way that book could possibly be, you know, even say $200. That's a $2 book.
Right.
You know, but now all of a sudden we're looking at these books that we thought were, you know, should have been in the $2 bin, and all of a sudden they're shooting up in price and we don't understand. But then sometimes we have to remember that it is still, you know, maybe 20 years ago, and some of these books still are going up in value quite a bit because of certain characters and certain demand.
Yep. I totally agree. Totally agree. All right, let's keep going. I want to, a pitfall I had once, then I scaled back. I guess I'm going from personal experience. Biting off more than you can chew.
Right.
Biting off more. You cannot, you know, I cannot, you cannot, most of our listeners cannot own a Detective 27 and an Action 1 and a high-grade AF-15 and stuff like that. So there's a million comics that you want to have.
Sure.
You can't have them all.
No.
You're going to spend yourself into... These were collectors / consumers. And you can tell at the shop, Chris. You can tell the guys and the girls that are taxing their finances with their pull.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. You've been there before.
Oh yeah,
it's like, buddy, you know, like you're spending, you know, $111 a week.
Well, I remember, you know, working at the any of the shops I've worked at, you know, they would say somebody would come and say, well, you know what, I have to stop collecting.
Yeah,
you say, well, how come? Well, you know, I can't afford it anymore. And they'd say, well, is it you can't afford your, because right now you're buying 40 titles a month.
Yeah.
Like, can you scale it back to
five?
To five or two?
Yeah.
No, and they would say it's either all or nothing.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't, I don't think it has to be.
I don't think it has to be that way.
I think, I remember a couple of guys, you know, like Gary, you know, like, how do you read him? Oh, I'm like 3 years behind on Green Lantern.
Yeah.
What the hell are you buying it for then?
I knew a guy that one time in like 15 years ago, he was like, I'm finally up to 1985.
Yeah,
and you're like, what are you talking about?
You're like, what? Why are you doing
why
that?
Why are you even like...
Yeah, like...
You try to read everything?
Why are you spending the money? Yeah, so like biting off more than you can chew, you got to kind of find your... Again, it goes back to finances again, even if you're collecting, you know what I mean? I collect... I'm collecting the Detective Run, the Amazing Spider-Man Run, and Action Run.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, okay, good luck, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, keep it real, I guess. Keep, like, don't bite off more than you can chew.
I agree.
Also, don't... Another pitfall guys do is, and I don't recommend it, is they lock themselves into strains of collecting.
What do you mean?
Because it never works. So rather than, you know, say I only collect Amazing Spider-Man and that's all I'm going to ever collect, right?
Yeah.
That's a constraint that most people can't keep.
Right.
Because I would say what you need to do to collect is be opportunistic.
Sure.
You know? Because I know you have more tastes than just Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
So don't lock yourself into not being able to enjoy other things if they come up and, you know, they fall on your lap type thing. And
right,
you buy
right,
them
right.
And stuff like that. And don't just be chained to Amazing Spider-Man where you have to buy something that month even though you're overpaying.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, having that... you know, giving yourself some flexibility in your collecting, I always thought like a well-versed collection was you had your Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But you had some romance comics.
Right.
You had a couple of cool Golden Age covers in your collection.
Yeah.
Maybe one timely.
Yeah.
You know, Submariner cover.
A Whitman.
You know what I mean? A Spire Christian, you know, a really couple of cool Archie covers.
Sure,
Just a nice, well-rounded collection that keeps you happy.
Yep.
And not all of them. The great part about collecting is you can collect things that aren't worth money.
Right.
Like you and I, like your Vigilante.
Absolutely,
How's that coming, by the way?
Stores haven't been open.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to go to any stores.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, you got like one more week of that.
Okay,
and then I'm going to be on you.
How's your Marvel team up?
Stores haven't been open.
Right.
I'm waiting for the stores to be open.
Don't you own a warehouse of comics?
Chris, we got to move along the show.
Okay,
We only have a few more minutes.
Okay.
All right, so pitfalls. Are we missing anything, Chris? I mean, we're trying to cover the macro ones. We're encouraging collecting, like we always encourage collecting.
Yeah.
We're think it through.
Yeah.
Don't tax your budget.
Yeah.
Collect within your budget.
Try to enjoy your books.
Yeah, enjoy your books. I'm sure we're missing a few major ones, but maybe somebody can add in the comments.
Yeah, I mean, one of our listeners can chime in and let us know something that they've done that maybe we should. Oh, yeah, you know what? I've done that too. But we have to make sure I look out for that.
Take the tape off.
When you
pull your comic out, make sure you do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And avoid all avoidable damages if you can.
Absolutely.
I had a buddy too, unfortunately. Him and his missus are, going to split up.
Okay, yeah.
And so he sends me a pic of a room, and his comics are just thrown.
Oh no!
Everywhere,
really?
Oh my goodness! Oh, no. So, lock and key might be in order. That's my point. All right. Anyway, I hope this helped a little bit. We'd love your feedback, and we'll see you next week.
Let us know what you think. Take care.